بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the outstanding features of all ulama-i kiram, buzurgan-i din, was the steadfastness on the sunnah. Hazrat Qasim Nanutvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ghawi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, had fought against the English in the year 1857. Generally they call it the Ghadr, in English they call it the mutiny. And our ulama had seen the injustice, oppression against the Muslims and the Indians in general, and they fought against the oppressors. Allah Ta'ala willed it that they had suffered some defeat. They couldn't stand before them. As Mawla Hafiz Zamin Shaheed rahmatullahi was made Shaheed on this occasion. Jihad took place in Shamli and his body was thereafter transferred to Thana Bhawan. In Thana Bhawan there were his three buzurgan-e din. We used to call them Aqtab-e Salasa. Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and Sheikh Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi. All three murids of the same peer and having a very good understanding amongst themselves. Hafiz Zamin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi by nature was quite jolly. He would remain somewhere near the entrance of the Khanqa. And as people came in, so he would say, see, if you want to find out a Muslim, this Sheikh Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, go and find out from him. And if you want to take bayat, Hadi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, go and take bayat at his hand. But if you want some good time to pull some hookah, come and sit with me. So some of these buzurgan-e din, they were so informal that anybody and everybody could take to them. Now this hookah pulling was something that was common in India from those years, right? This thing only touched our shores now recently, but that was carrying on for many years in India. So he, Hafiz Zamin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, normally he would not encourage anybody to take bayat at his hands. Refer them to Ali Sahib or someone else. But just before the jihad that took place, 57, so now if someone came in, then he would accept them. Accept them for jihad. And he would go a few steps ahead and say, see, whoever wants to marry these whores, they are standing there on the balconies. He's actually seeing them. You are wanting to marry those whores, then they're standing there waiting for you. Right. So this whole mutiny, if you look at it, perhaps Allah Ta'ala wanted to honor Hazrat Hafiz Zamin Sahib rahmatullahi with shahadat, and he prompted them all to cooperate with him. Shahadat, giving the life in the name of Allah Ta'ala, is such a beautiful thing, such a sweet thing. It is just a matter of you tasting it. Because you haven't tasted it, so therefore you feel a little bit indifferent. But if you were just given a small understanding of that sweetness of shahadat, then you will be a different person, your attitude will change altogether. Nabi himself said that, I would love to be martyred in the path of Allah Ta'ala, brought back to life, martyred again, brought back to life, martyred again and brought back to life, brought martyred again and brought back to life. It's such an enjoyable thing. At Shaheed, his life carries on, it's continuous. Like every person dies and his life ends with death. But the one that is martyred, then his life continues. His life doesn't terminate, it continues. And what is the meaning of his life continuing is what you normally receive in life that Shaheed receives after death as well. In life, what you receive, what opportunity you get the opportunity to accumulate rewards and rewards, right? So the Shaheed is only the only person that after death, his sawab continues, like the day that he was living. His sawab is still running all the time. They are ringing all the time. It hasn't come to a stop. Normally, the person died, so his deeds have come to a halt, all stopped. But the shaheed, it carries on, continues. Carries on, right till the day of Qiyamah, it continues. Some of the incidents of some shaheeds, you know. We say that they are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They are alive, but you can't perceive that. Around the end of the 1200, the Mawlana Ismail Shaheed and Hafiz Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed, rahmatullahi, they were martyred. They were martyred in Balakot. Now that's part of Pakistan. Before it was part of the undivided India, now it's part of Pakistan. Again, they also, they fought against the English. Here in the 1300s also, they fought against the English, right? So, after his shahadat, after his martyrdom, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, Hafiz Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed, their martyrdom, their shahadat is around, say, 1280 somewhere, right? So about a year or 2 years later, after they have been all both martyred, so one person from Dioban, whose son had participated in this jihad, he got up for Tajud at around 2 o'clock in the morning. And as he got up, he hears a knock on his door. So he understands, he's trying to work out now at 2 o'clock in the morning and who's knocking at the door. In the meanwhile, his son also was martyred there in Balakot, like Mawlana Ismail Shaheed, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed, all were martyred there. So his son was also martyred. When he opened the door, it was his son that was martyred. And he says to his father now, Abba, just make it quickly now, make it quickly. Just put, if you've got a nice new carpet, just lay it out. So, in Dioban, this place, what they do, is come the winter season, then they have some type of a soft covering. Right, to just insulate the place, keep it warm, they'll have a soft, nice carpet, right? Inexpensive, so they can change it all the time. So that's covered, that covers the floor, so it makes it quite warm. So you've got a nice new one, and just pull it out, because both of them are coming just now. So now the father is a little bit shocked up now. This son is martyred, and then he's coming here, and Ismail Shaheed, all are martyred. What's happening here? But no, I heard that you were martyred. The father is saying, the son. But I heard that you were martyred. Yeah, I was martyred. And you were here? Yeah, I was martyred. So what? So then, wait, just explain to me how you were martyred. You know, what happened there? So the father asked, and explained to me how his mutton. His head was covered with a rumal, the Arab cloth you have. So he pulled his whole head out. My head was chopped off, this is how his mutton. Pulled the whole head out, and some drops of blood fell onto that carpet. So the father couldn't see. He said, hey, please put your head back. I can't manage to see this thing here. He replaced the head. Right. And in a few moments, then my Ismail Shaheed Sahib and Sayyid Sahib all the way in the lounge, carpet area, they sat there for a few moments and then they left. So this life of theirs is a life of continuity. It carries on. No stop to that life. Just that you can't perceive it, but it's there, they're alive. Alamah Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah's great grandfather. So he was also made Shaheed. So he would appear at night to his great granny's place, his wife. Wife was widowed now. He is martyred, but he made Shaheed. So he's appearing at the residence of his wife. And he brings some mitais, whatever else, offer it to his wife. And he told his wife, as long as you just keep quiet, the mitais will keep flowing, I'll keep sending, I'll keep bringing it to you. And true to his word, he would come personally, deliver the mitais at night, and he would go. Aisha is, come on, finish. But he's bringing these things all the time. Now the great granny is thinking, if someone gets to know this, they will have suspicions against myself. Obviously a woman felt things different, right? Where this thing came from, how it came. So when she felt suspicious about the whole thing, she felt afraid, then she divulged the whole secret. It's what happened. It was happening every day. Every night it's happening. The moment she spilled the beans, that thing stopped. Came up, finished. One person was traveling to Afghanistan. You know, you get these people that want to explore and see what's happening and all that. So he wanted to explore some areas of Afghanistan. Those years, 200 years ago. So the English always fought against the Afghanis for whatever reason, and in the history shows that whenever they fought, they were defeated. Whoever fought, these people here, they always were defeated. In the Islamic history, they show that there were three nations that accepted Islam altogether, complete. One was the Turks, number two were the Afghans, and number three were the Arabs, complete, last soul accepted Islam. Others accepted, but now some parts accepted, some did not accept. But the Sunni, these three, they accepted entirely. This person is exploring Afghanistan, 200 years ago. Now, these explorers and historians, they see now what's going on here, what's going on there. And sometimes in that pursuit, they don't understand what they're doing. So now he's walking some type of a very, very lonely place. Now it's already around Maghrib time, just half an hour or so before Maghrib. So at the distance, he sees a house. So he asks the owner, can I spend the night? Tomorrow morning, I'll leave. First, the owner was a little bit reluctant, but with some hesitation, he said, all right, I'll allow you to stay, but you see, at night you must never open the windows or the door. Don't ever open anything. Just stay stuck here. Don't move out of this place. So he said, all right, don't worry. But now, the curiosity had the better over him. Okay, why mustn't I open the door? Historian, explorer, an explorer wants to explore, see now what's happening, what's going on. So, some part of the night or something, he opened the door. He sees a whole herds and herds of swine, small, big, fat, short, all sizes, all coming out, crying, profusely. And after they've cried, they're going back into that hole that they came out from. I saw this now. He's amazed. What happened? What's going on here? So I was waiting for the morning to discuss it with the owner of the house. Say, what happened here? I told you, you mustn't open the door. Why did you do this thing? So he said, whatever happened now, but just tell me what's going on here. He says, you see, the English were killed here, right? In this war that took place 200 years ago, they were killed. But ever since they were killed, from that date till today, they come out from this hole, all of these people. They come, they cry, they wait for a long time, miserably, and they go back. In the meanwhile, there was a Jamaat that came here, just before this Ladysmith Ijtima. There was a Jod Ijtima. So there was a Pakistan Jamaat that came here. So he explained that their Jamaat was destined to go to Jordan, right? Where the first Muslim-Roman war took place. In the first Muslim-Roman war, the name of it is what? Mu'ta. Huh? Yeah. So that was the first Muslim-Roman war. Perhaps just about the 7th year of the Hijrat or the 8th year, around there, that's where it took place. So that is the jihad where Hazrat Zayd ibn Harisa, Hazrat Jafar and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu, all three of them were martyred. So they went there, they worked that area, and obviously they came here now, so they were interested to see where the jihad took place. Obviously they were going so far, and something that is recorded in history, you want to see. They went there, and he says every day we could sort of see those Sahaba Kiram that are participating in jihad. We hear the clashing of swords, everything. You know, beautiful faces and all that. See them participating in jihad. Every day you could see it. And then, now, Jordan now is more or less Israeli controlled, right? Everybody knows it's not a secret, it's Israeli controlled. So the Jews and the Christians will always be in the way of Islam. So now they wanted to put an end to this type of a karamat, this thing of the Sahaba Kiram. It's a miracle, right? But you could visit, you could see it up till the 20th century, you could see it. What they did, they put up a university in the same spot with mixed education, boys, girls, all mixed up. So when they started that, this thing stopped also. But you could see it yourself, the Jamaats could see it, so you could see with the eyes. When they started it, that thing stopped. Coming back to Afghanistan, so there was another explorer that was exploring Afghanistan. So he's seeing now it's about Asr time and I need to perform my Asr namaz. So he heard some Azan, he went in that direction, he saw a small masjid. So made wuzu, and as he stepped into the masjid, he saw people have congregated already and they started the namaz. So he wanted to join them. So one of the persons that were in the namaz, he pushed him out, hey, you're going to read your own namaz. You can't join up with us because we are shaheeds. You can't join up with us because we are shaheeds. In other words, our namaz is nafil and your namaz is faraz. So you can't join up with a person that is in nafil namaz. We are beyond death, and beyond death then there's no obligation. Right? We're doing namaz just for enjoyment, for the spiritual enjoyment, for the ecstasy we're doing it. We do it for enjoyment. And your namaz is compulsory, so you have to do it. So you go to do your namaz separately, you can't join us. Join us, see? That is why the Ahnaf say, Salatul Muftariz Khalf al-Mutanafil is not right. Salatul Muftar is Khalfal Mutanafil. So this is a different dimension of life. And I say it's so enjoyable, it's so sweet, that you want to be there all the time. But just that, sometimes when you talk of jihad and all that, you only think of killing and all that. So jihad doesn't only mean to kill someone. It is an effort for bringing about the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's system must prevail in anything that you're doing. Try your best to see that you elevate the system of Allah Ta'ala. How can you? Now you have to think about it, you see. If you think, alright, in this situation, in this context that I am in, I need to bring about the system of Allah Ta'ala. How must I do it? You have to keep thinking. You see, the Aligarh University was founded around 1860-1870, that was the time it was founded. But at the beginning it was more towards atheism and more irreligious, right? Although Sir Sayyid Sahib, the founder, his intentions may have been good, but the university took a bad turn from the beginning. All towards atheism, wrong and all that. Ulama-i-kiram, alhamdulillah, from the beginning they tried. The more Thani Sahib had his bayans, the lot of ulama went up. Eventually, the Jamaats had gone in, had penetrated into Aligarh. Now, at the beginning, the state of Aligarh was so bad, that when the Jamaats went in, right? So these people were all irreligious, youngsters and all carefree and nothing to do with deen. Now, this Jamaat was not very well equipped, you know, clothing and all, for the severe winters on that end. I mean, that side, the winters are very severe. Very, very, very severe. Like how you have in OFS, you know. So the winters, as I said, is very, very severe. And then you can imagine the nights will be even more. So they came in, so these youngsters, they housed them. But what they did, they housed them in the rooms that was about the coldest in that place. Right? The coldest room. And then it was a Jamaat of villagers. So they don't know what is modernism, they don't know what is light, they don't know what is fans, they don't know anything, they haven't seen this thing, they don't know how to operate these things. So what they did is, they didn't give them anything warm, and the whole night they switched on the fan. So as it is cold, biting cold, and they put them into a coldest room, and then they switched on the fan. So this Jamaat, they said, see, jihad is to elevate, what? Exalt the name of Allah Ta'ala. Whichever way, however you can do it, make it work, bring it. Not what you would like deen to be, but deen in its pure state, as it's been transmitted and transferred to you from the elders. See, this article was talking about the elders. Right? Your elders and their elders and they, and so forth and so forth and so on. How they thought, how they behaved. So they passed it on to their successors, and that generation passed it on to the next generation. So they brought it in that pure state. Now they're mixing up things, just having a topi, kurta, mixed up with women and all that, and we think that we're doing Islam, right? So it's a distorted version of Islam, not the pure version of Islam. So Allah Pak doesn't like this. Anything that's distorted, Allah Pak doesn't want that. Faked up, distorted. I ask you, like a faked note, right? If a fake note, and you were presented, the man will get upset with you. What do you think of me? Presenting me with fake notes. Now, a thought was coming to my mind. They talk about this Darwin and all that. But they say that we haven't yet proven it. So in this theory, two things are coming to my mind, right? One is, see, we are made to think that whatever is coming from the West is gospel truth, is wahi. So we must go for it, must accept it. Why it came from the West? Well, Darwin died around 1800 somewhere, right? He died around that time. He brought the Shaitanism, and he died and he went away, right? But it came from the West. So we are trained to think that whatever comes from the West is good. It's good, must hold on to it. It's education. Can be the worst type of fabrication, but now because it came from this quarter, first the Indians, etc., are made to feel inferior, right? When you are made to feel, think to be superior, you feel yourself to be inferior. So when you feel yourself inferior, you suffer a complex. So whatever is coming from the superior, you want to accept it. You want to kiss it, you want to hold it, and you want to go by it. Whereas this thing is a pure fabrication, absolute fabrication. Right? The second thought that was passing my mind, when it was faked up, right? It was faked up. They say also it's not yet proven, but it's possible. That's what they say. It's not yet proven. So if it's not yet proven, then why must you go with it so hard, so firmly? Why must you go with it? It's fake, right? So any one of us can say also it's not a truth, it's not yet proven. So it's possible that Darwin, right? It's possible. You know, you talk about possibilities. Everything is possible. Possible his mother was a loose woman, right? She was sleeping everywhere, this side, that side, the whole world she was sleeping with, right? Father was raping and he was a bisexual and raping and whatever he was, right? Until he came up, same person, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So all these are possibilities. We don't say it's a fact. Like he also says that that mankind came from apes, right? He doesn't say it's a fact. It's a possibility. So we also say it's not a fact, it's a possibility. The mother was a whore, and the father was a rapist. Was sleeping around everywhere, she was sleeping around in the joint doors, everywhere, you know, everywhere you can think of, they were sleeping. And until they made up, but we don't say it's a fact, it's a possibility. What? It's a possibility. And then how Darwin was born. I don't know which joint door he was born. So he saw this whole life, you know, man is sleeping somewhere, mother is sleeping this side, that side. So he thought, no, I need to concoct something to earn a name. Because I was born from this type of a mother, that type of a father, they're sleeping around and all these things here. So how must I earn a name? So he thought of this theory. So we don't say it's a fact, huh? We don't say it's just a theory, possibility. Right? Now, you will spend another 200 years to disprove what I'm saying. See, he made up a theory and you spent about 200 years to try and prove what he's saying. And now I'm also presenting a theory, right? And I say it's not a fact, it's a theory, possibility, right? So spend another 200 years to disprove, inshallah you can't disprove what I'm saying. But only you can't disprove. What I'm saying, you can never disprove. Huh? Can you disprove, right? You can't disprove this thing here, because what I'm saying is both are human beings and possible. My mother was there, sleeping in the whole jungle, everybody. Animals, bushmen, hotel toad, everybody she was. Right. Father was in the same, with dogs and, you know, everything, they were sleeping everywhere. Eventually someone was born, right? So now he had to earn a name for himself, because I'm born from, this was my beginnings, you know, my humble beginnings. See, he had to present something noble for the humble beginnings that he came to win the Nobel Prize. So then he brought up this thing here, and the whole world now is holding on to it. I say now, I'm presenting a theory also. So now, because of the theory that I'm presenting now, right, now you spend 200 years at least to disprove this thing, inshallah, I'm sure you will be able to disprove it. Right. So we are made to feel inferior. See, Indians are made to feel inferior. The one that is coming for the whites, that is truth. So we feel inferior, so we're going with what these people say, believes, whatever they will say, we'll do it. Whatever, close our eyes. So this is the taqleed that we say is haram. You say follow the imams. So this is the following that is haram. Not what we're doing. What we're doing is right. What we do is right, but this is the type of blind following that we say is haram. Whatever the English say, whatever the West says, just go with it. That is a sign of progress, that is a sign of recognition. If they talk a certain language, must speak about it. They speak in a certain twang, must speak like that. then you are progressive. And you don't, then you are backwards, see. So you are made to think like that. So our ulama ikram, they saw all these things here. They saw all these things here, and the type of disaster, damage that was caused to the faith of people, to mankind, etc. at large, they tried to correct this thing here. Whichever way, jihad, whichever way. So therefore, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah should say, the jihad of this age, we talk of jihad, to bring about the name of Allah Ta'ala, the system of Allah Ta'ala, whatever you're doing. So think now, in my context, how can I bring about the name of Allah Ta'ala? I was showing us, you know, Aligarh University, what it was, right? Where the Jamaats worked in there. Now, today, if you walk in that university, that same university, you will feel that I've mistaken, perhaps I'm in a madrasa. Azan is going this side, it's about over 15,000 students studying there. There's Azan going this side here, some Talim here, some Jamaat coming, Jamaat going out, morning fikr, evening kersh, whole place is buzzing with Islamic activity. But you see, to bring about that Islam in the context that you are, not to become despondent, no matter what it is, I need to bring my Islam here. Islam must rest here, Islam must thrive here, must flourish here. How do I do it? In the context we got, right, we have got legal limitations, etc. We don't want to get into any problems, any legal problems, right? We know that. Nobody wants to get into legal problems, right? With all the limitations you got, but keep your limitations in mind, how can you bring about Islam? How can you do it? So two, three things that are quite prominent. One is stick to the ways of the old. Pious, righteous people. It may be a way that is humble, outdated, but the type of kurta they wore, the type of topi they wore, the type of attire they wore, their families wore. Simple, straightforward, clear. Right? So that simple life. Nothing showing. You know. See, this show business, it can start for a day, 2 days, but people get to know this, just a show. But if it's truth, nothing lasts, that prevails. So the simple attire, however they dressed, however they conducted themselves. You know. So you see up to this day you see, with a Muslim that is honest in his ways, he's dressing simple, and he's honest in his way, you will find that the black that is not biased, unprejudiced, right? He'll go out of his way to show respect to that Muslim. Whereas he's got nothing to do with Islam, and there's other people around, but why does he show so much of respect to Islam? Because he's touching his heart. So that means this old original ways has got a magnetic effect. So those people whose hearts are clear, and undiluted, uncontaminated, their hearts will definitely be affected. So your attire, your dressing, woman, in the house, outside the house, but simple, Islamic, keeping to the original code. So that's the one thing that you can bring about, very easily, very simply. We do it, we encourage people in the house, same code, same respect, same type of values we try and bring within us, and within the house. I won't say you must give up your comforts. Keep your comforts, enjoy, but keep that original style. Simplicity, in every respect, as much as you can, bring about that simplicity. Right? Number two is, wherever we are, traveling or at home, namaz must be done on time. Right? On time. Do the namaz on time, no matter where you are. But do it, and do it in a conspicuous way, openly. Don't feel ashamed about it. You're at an airport, you're wherever you are, in a public place or in private, where you are, wherever you are, but do it in a conspicuous way, open way. This namaz in itself is a dawat, it's an invitation. So you will call the azan openly, perform the namaz openly. Don't feel ashamed. We don't realize the magnetic force that your azan, your namaz, and your attire has. It has a dynamic force. Strength it has, it's a might. Your simplicity, your simple, your values, honest, good, you know, with whoever it is, Muslim, non-Muslim, but you are good, kind, polite, original ways, and your namaz, and your wuzu, everything, your Azan, everything is done in an open way. So these two things we can, at least we can start off. I don't say we stop there, but we start off with these two. One person stealing all his life, right? All his life he did robbing and stealing for a living. Now, he came from Buzurg, he said, you know, you accept me, you know, that I must also become a naked person, I must become a righteous person. Don't ask me to leave, give up my stealing. Please don't ask me to give up my stealing. So the pious person thought for a moment and said, I'll accept you, but then I accept your condition, you must accept my condition. See, you are coming in with this condition that I'll go on stealing. So then you must also accept my one condition. My condition I'm giving you, that wherever you are, the moment the time of namaz starts, it starts, then you must call out the azan loudly and do your namaz. No matter what time, where you are, who's there, but the moment the time of namaz starts, you must just call out the azan loudly and start off the namaz. See, this namaz and azan, it has an effect on everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim. A person's heart is good, it will touch his heart. I know, I just came from India 37, 38 years ago, right? Just came. So the Zohar Azan was being called, and as the Azan is going, Zohar Azan, so I was going to the masjid. So one black man tells me, I don't know him, he doesn't know me. So he tells me, yes, the last one to go and the first one to come out. He's hearing the Azan and he's seeing me go to the masjid. So he says, the last one to go and the first one to come out. But I was touched with what he said. What he felt, now perhaps the Azan, right, you should supposed to be in the masjid before the Azan goes. So it touched me what he said. Okay, whatever he's saying because of a good feeling. The namaz is great, you should supposed to be in the masjid earlier, why are you going so late? So that's the heart he was telling me with. So that's why I felt affected, because this person here, Allah Pak is using him to tell me. But he's got some love and respect for Islam, therefore he's saying it. Otherwise, if he had no respect, he wouldn't have said these words. So that means he liked Islam, but just that he didn't have the grace to accept it. But in his heart, he had love for it. So this man went to this buzruk, I want to become a pious person, I'm not going to leave my stealing. So, all right. Now I accepted your condition, you must accept my condition. Time the namaz, time goes in, you call the azan loud, yes, loud as possible, do your namaz properly with khushu, properly with devotion. Alright? So, his livelihood is stealing. So he heard about one wedding now, India style, wedding. So Indians like jewelry and all that. So if they're coming out for a wedding or something, everybody's made up, everybody's dolled up with jewelry and all that. So it's a winter's night. Night is starting at about 5:30 and ending up at about 6 o'clock. Right? So over 12.5 hours. So it's the right time now, because all this show and tamasha all starts off at night, right? All the tamasha starts off. India, they do it big way. Wedding, they got an elephant, they got white horses at the beginning and the end. They got a whole drum session, music. I seen this thing when I was traveling in Delhi, coming to the Merkaz, I was seeing. The procession goes about 1.5-2 kilometers. You're traveling with a bus, you go to the Merkaz, you see the whole thing going. So they do it very big way. So now, he has thought there's a wedding carrying on here. It's an Indian wedding, and there'll be hundreds of people invited. So they'll be sleeping now at about his timing is working at about 3 o'clock, they'll be fast asleep. Because all that tamasha and the show ends up at about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock they're going to sleep. By 3 o'clock, the lights out, everything is finished. So at about 3 o'clock in the morning, 8:30, I must go and attack the house. He went. So he went with one big pillowcase, all the jewelry that he's finding, pulling out the jewelry, his whole pillowcase got filled up. 1,000 people came for the wedding. Obviously, everybody's jewelry. So this one, that one, that one, that one. Now, as he filled his sack and is about to leave, now he sees it's Fajr time. And I took the promise of that Buzurug that no matter where I am, who I am, at the time that the namaz time sets in, I will call out the azan as loud as possible, and I have to stand to my promise. Some people are actually rogues, thieves, whatever, but if they made a promise, they will respect that promise. Now it's about 5:30, right? 5:30 or so, namaz time is setting. And now he's calling out the azan. Meanwhile, people are getting up now, the house. They say, meri churi kaha gayi? Where's my churi? Where's my bangle? Mera haar khaya gaya. The necklace is gone. Hey, meri anguti. Hey, now they all helter-skelter, everybody's crying there. In the meanwhile, they're hearing azan. In the distance, they all go in that side. And they see that pillowcase stacked up with all the jewelry. Hey, this is a chore one. This is a chore. But now you can't hear anything because he's calling azan. And he can hear the whispers and the rumbling that is going on. So the type of khushu he had with the namaz of his, you know, Ajay Allah Bagdus. So just let him finish his namaz, we'll put him in his place. Now, in his namaz is so much of khushu and so much khushu. Allah Bagdus, you know, today I need to be saved. Otherwise, you know, that's the end of me. When they waiting for his namaz, so there is some rumbling carrying on, what's going on here. One person said, no. Actually, this is Khizr alayhi salam. You see, this is Khizr alayhi salam, because chor can't make namaz. This is Khizr alayhi salam. Allah sent Khizr alayhi salam to recover all our lost jewelry. All our stolen jewelry, so you see the jewelry is here. He just recovered everything for us. So the after the namaz, everybody queued up to meet him, make musafa. But they got the jewelry. Then they think for a moment, you know what, we are honored like this to meet Khizr alayhi salam. Right? What an honor, what a privilege. So giving the jewelry, he'll make sadqa of the thing. But you see, this namaz has got a dynamic power. It's got an effect. It will correct you at some time. You will be doing all the wrong dandas will be doing, right? Right. But do your namaz correctly, on time, and do it conspicuously, openly. Don't fight for anybody, wherever you are. You're having a meeting, say, I'm going for my namaz. I'm going for my salah. You don't have to apologize, be apologetic and all that. Say, no, I'll take 20 minutes, half an hour. Do your namaz properly, don't worry, whoever it is there, but do it properly. Wuzu properly, azan properly, namaz properly, and you see that namaz will just turn you around. Allah Bakhtu Fi is equal.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, wa tabaraka ismuka, wa ta'ala jadduka, wa la ilaha ghayruk. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد، ونعيما لا ينفد، ومرافقة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى جنة الخلد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. إله العالمين، يا الله most kind Allah, most forgiving Allah, والله forgive our sins والله. والله forgive all our sins يا الله. والله forgive our sins of our parents, our families, our asatidha and entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله forgive all our gunas يا الله. إله العالمين، يا الله forgive our sins يا الله. والله bless us with hidayat. والله grant the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم hidayat. والله bring deen in our lives completely يا الله. والله bring the reality of kalima la ilaha illallah muhammadur rasulullah in our lives. والله bless us with iman, allow us to live with iman and die with iman. Ilahul alameen, bring islam in our lives completely. والله allow us to uphold islam and sharia completely in its most pure and pristine way ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, grant us the best of this dunya and akhirah and save us from the fire of jahannam. Ilahul alameen, bless us with a beautiful death. Make the last day of our day, the last day of our life, the best day of our life. Ilahul alameen, make easy for us all the different marahil of akhirah. Ilahul alameen, allow us to drink from the hawz kawthar from the mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ilahul alameen, save us from hisab kitabi Allah. Ilahul alameen, we are not deserving of jannah ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, we have nothing to present before you ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are only hopeful of your mercy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us Jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us the best of this dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with your fadl, your ihsan and your karam, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bless us with tranquility, contentment, peace. Ilahul alameen, allow our tongues to always be in your remembrance, our hearts to be grateful to you. Ilahul alameen, all those people who are sick, Allah grant them shifa. Ilahul alameen, all those people who are in some type of problem, difficulty, Allah grant a way out for them. Ilahul alameen, help all the Muslims in different parts of the world, Ya Allah, assist them, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, all those people who are serving your deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept them, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, all those people who are means of this deen reaching till us, Ilahul alameen, reward them abundantly, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, make our hifadat, Ya Allah, from all type of shar and evil, Ya Allah, in this dunya, qabr and akhirat. Ilahul alameen, we ask you for your hifadat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, we ask you for your nusrat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, we ask you for your qabuliyat, Ya Allah. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, accept all our broken ibadat, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, accept us in your court, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, make us your beloveds, Ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, bless us with ikhlas, sincerity, simplicity, and mubarak akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul alameen, grant us all of that which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked. And protect us from all those things which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection against. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Jazallahu anna nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluhu. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.